I've given to Democrats. I've given to Hillary. I've given to everybody. Because when I want something, I get it. When I call, they kiss my ass.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yep.
Yes, I'm stuck in the middle.
I am from Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles. This is the Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in L.A., 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake, California. On 91.7 FM KYAQ on the Central Coast in Oregon and 106.7 FM Queso in Cottage Grove. In Lancaster, Pennsylvania on 93 FM WLRI News Radio. On 88.5 FM KAKU, the voice of Maui. On WGRN, 94.1 FM in Columbus, Ohio. Oh, Ohio. 102.9 FM WLPP in Palenville, New York. And, of course, Minneapolis, St. Paul's, AM 950 KTNF, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. And coast to coast and around the globe, streaming on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Indie Media Weekly, FYI Nation, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, GDPR Nashville, GDPR Revolution 99 now, Detour Talk, Radio Monterey, and Radio Sputnik, blanketing planet Earth. 5 days a week, I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Thank you for joining us today. Once again, for another thrilling action-packed adventure, or at least I suspect it will be. Joining us a little bit later will be the delightful Desi Doyen with her latest Green News report, as the Obama administration has stepped in to temporarily halt Dakota Access Pipeline construction. Why the oil industry is pushing for more pipelines. Oh, here's one that our folks here in California will appreciate. Judge rules against a plan to open millions of acres of public lands to fracking in California. And yes, August 2016 was the hottest month ever recorded on planet Earth. So that is ahead. Perhaps some of your calls, if we can get to them, at 818-985-5735, our phone number. I am live in the Pacifica Radio studios today, 818-985-KPFK. But before all of that, I've got a guest momentarily coming up, and it's all related to this. Oh, this is fun. Just released today, a new Bloomberg poll shows Donald Trump now leading Hillary Clinton, oh, brother, by, let's see, 5 points. 5 points in the state of Ohio in a two-way race among likely voters, not among registered voters, but amongst the smaller group of likely voters in the critical battleground state of Ohio. And also leads by 5 points among Ohio likely voters when third-party candidates are included as well in Ohio, according to Bloomberg Politics. This poll was taken from last Friday to this past Monday, as Clinton was facing a backlash for her comments about her accurate comments about Trump's basket of deplorables. And amid the concerns about her health after being seen to stumble as she left the September 11th ceremony with a bout of pneumonia, and after months of, frankly, terrible and misleading reporting about her use of a private email account as Secretary of State and about the Clintons' charitable foundation, just terrible and misleading reporting. While I'm all in favor of that reporting, it hasn't been good reporting. In any event, Bloomberg notes the pollster who led the Iowa-based firm Seltzer and Company, who oversaw the survey, said that our party breakdown differs from other polls but resembles what happened in Ohio in 2004. Man, do I hate hearing that. It is very difficult to say, she said, who will and who will not show up to vote. In other words, who are likely voters on Election Day? So much of this is guesswork. But their poll suggests Republicans, more Republicans rather than Democrats, would do that in Ohio if the election were held today. And a gentle reminder here that Ohio has backed the winning presidential candidate in every election since 1964. CNN also has a new poll out today showing pretty much the same thing. 8 weeks to go before Election Day, and among likely voters in Ohio, Trump now stands at 46 to Clinton's 41. That's a 4-point lead that Donald Trump now has in Ohio, with 8% in Ohio supporting Libertarian Gary Johnson, 2% supporting Green Party nominee Jill Stein. And in Florida, voters are now split, sort of. Trump is leading in Florida as well, according to CNN's poll, by 3 points. 47 to 44. So he's ahead by 4 points in Ohio. Trump is ahead by 3 points in Florida. And in that Florida poll, 6% are going for Gary Johnson. 1% are backing Jill Stein. So with the polls now suggesting a narrowing at the very least between Clinton and Trump, and many of those polls citing plummeting trust amongst the electorate for Hillary Clinton in the wake of what we've reported in detail on the broadcast on this program as some, you know, pretty terrible reporting, frankly, and what seems to be a dearth of coverage in anywhere near the same depth and tenacity concerning what appears to be a litany of wrongdoing concerning Donald Trump's various business dealings, such as his Trump University, his Trump Institute, scams, evidence that his modeling agency instructed international models to lie about their immigration status to U.S. custom officials. What? You didn't know about that? No, you didn't. Because Mother Jones covered it, nobody else did. Evidence that he failed to pay many contractors over the years at all, and some very clear and even admitted crimes. In the case of at least one illegal payment of $25,000 made by his supposed charitable organization to the political group supporting Florida's top law enforcement official, Attorney General Pam Bondi. This, according now to the good government group Citizens for Ethics and Responsibility in Washington, or CREW, which has now filed, as of yesterday, a criminal bribery complaint against Trump and Bondi. According to a press release sent out by CREW last night, Donald Trump and Pam Bondi appear to have committed a federal crime relating to an apparent bribe solicited by the Florida Attorney General and paid by Trump and the Trump Foundation, according to the criminal complaint filed on Tuesday by Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, or CREW. The complaint also calls for an investigation into whether the Trump Foundation broke federal criminal law by making numerous false reports to the IRS on its tax forms. A few weeks before a newspaper reported that her office was considering joining a lawsuit against Trump University, Bondi personally solicited a campaign contribution from Trump, which her political committee received 4 days after the news was published. A month later, her office told newspapers it would not be taking action, not be taking legal action against Trump or Trump University. Quote, the bribery of an elected official is the ultimate betrayal of the public's trust, and the facts strongly suggest that happened here, says CREW Executive Director Noah Bookbinder. He went on to say it will be shocking and disheartening if it turns out that Florida's highest law enforcement official did indeed put her office up for sale and that Mr. Trump so readily paid for it. CREW's 13-page criminal complaint was sent yesterday to both the U.S. attorney in the Northern District of Florida and the chief of the Public Integrity Section of the U.S. Department of Justice. Joining us now on the broadcast to talk about it is Noah Bookbinder. He is the executive director, Crew's executive director, since last year. Prior to joining Crew, he served as director of the Office of Legislative and Public Affairs at the United States Sentencing Commission, where he helped guide the commission to important policy decisions, including its historic 2014 action to reduce sentences for most federal drug offenders. Noah Bookbinder, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Great to be here.
Great to have you here. We had former Crew Executive Director Melanie Sloan on our show many times over the years, but it's our first time, I believe, having you. So really appreciate you joining us today. What does it mean? Let me start here. I got so much to ask you on this, Noah, and I think it's largely because there has been just so little coverage of it in truth, and certainly compared to the coverage of Clinton's alleged crimes. I don't even know what to call them, but there has been so little coverage. I got so much to ask. So let me start here. What does it mean for a non-governmental organization like you, like Crew? You're not the police. You're not the local prosecutor. What does it mean when a group like you files a criminal complaint? Is there any legally binding obligations by officials to take up that complaint in any way?
There's no legally binding obligation. What there is essentially an organization like Crew saying, we have found evidence that a crime may have been committed. Mm-hmm. We are asking you to investigate. And at that point, the power of that really comes from both our track record mm-hmm. as an organization that that has a history at this point for over a decade
yep.
of calling attention to problems that really exist and that have been that government agencies have looked into and have found to be backed up by the facts, mm-hmm. And then it also depends on the case that we make. And so we're very careful, as we did in this case. You know, we don't send over two paragraph letters saying, you know, we think there might be a problem. We really document a whole host of evidence pointing out why we think there is at least a good possibility of illegal conduct, and you know, trying to make as persuasive a case as possible for the government to take that up and see where the evidence leads them.
And so let's review that. And I think this is necessary because this has been, in my opinion, so underreported. But let's very quickly review the main timeline of the facts here, of the central concerns, because they seem on their face, at least, quite damning, if I understand them correctly. Then we can dig into some of the specifics here. But what is the the timeline of the central facts in concern in your criminal complaint that you filed yesterday?
Sure. Well, it starts in August of 2013 mm-hmm. When it's publicly announced that the Attorney General for the state of New York is taking legal action against Trump University and related entities that are alleged to have essentially defrauded people, to have said that they're going to provide services that they don't actually provide. They charge people thousands of dollars, and you had a lot of very unhappy people around the country saying they had paid a lot of money, they hadn't gotten anything valuable for the money, and this ought to be investigated. So that's in August.
Mm-hmm. August 2013, somewhere, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Somewhere around that time, mm-hmm. Pam Bondi, the Attorney General of Florida, has said that she personally called Donald Trump or in some way communicated with Donald Trump and asked him for a political contribution. In early September mm-hmm. of 2013, reporters in Florida, particularly the Orlando Sentinel, start reaching out to Bondi's office and asking if the office in Florida is going to join that New York lawsuit. And they actually publish an article on September 13th of 2013 saying that Bondi's office said that, yes, they're reviewing the lawsuit and deciding whether they should join or take any kind of action. 4 days later, this check arrives from the Trump Foundation, to this group called And Justice for All, which is a political organization in Florida that is backing Pam Bondi. And
four days after she had publicly said we may join this lawsuit in New York against Donald Trump, 4 days later, a $25,000 check shows up from Donald Trump's charitable foundation.
That's right. That's right. Now, at the very least, somebody from her office said we're thinking of joining this lawsuit.
Okay.
And if it works like the kinds of offices that I've worked in at times with elected officials, they tend to know when people write about them in their office. That's,
mm-hmm.
They get stacks of clips every morning. They know what people are saying. So 4 days later, this check arrives. By October of 2013, the Office of the Attorney General is saying to a number of different reporters that that they're not joining a lawsuit, they're not investigating, that essentially the New York Attorney General can take care of it. And so you have right there a timeline,
mm-hmm.
it's a sort of tight timeline that you don't see very often, where the money comes in. The money comes in at a time when clearly a decision appears to be being discussed and being made, and right afterwards you see a decision that benefits the person who paid the money, and that's highly problematic.
And then not long after all of that, there was a fundraiser. Am I correct? That was held at Mar-a-Lago, which is Donald Trump's one of his golf clubs down there in Florida, very expensive place. He held a lot of his primary night victory announcements there at Mar-a-Lago. And Bondi's group was charged just less than $5,000 for the use of the club, according to your complaint. That, you say, is below market rate. Would that be illegal as well if he gave her the use of this club for less than the market rate on for its use? And what was the going rate for Trump's Mar-a-Lago at the time? Any idea?
It's very hard to tell. The Trump organization is not very forthcoming with information. But we certainly know that there were private events. It's been reported that there were private events that paid well over $100,000 for using that that space. And so, under $5,000 seems like an order of magnitude less than what other people were paying. So it's not illegal for the Trump organization to give somebody the space at a reduced rate,
mm-hmm.
for a fundraiser in and of itself. But if that is a reward, if that's saying, hey, thanks for backing off of looking at Trump University, that is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
That starts to look like bribery or an illegal gratuity, and particularly when it's combined with that campaign contribution, starts to look pretty bad. And this came about 5 months after the decision would have been made. So that's also something that we think really needs to be given a hard look.
Now, Donald Trump ended up paying a penalty to the IRS based in no small part on your complaint, on Cruz's complaint in, I guess it was March of this year, correct? March 2016, your complaint to the IRS?
That's right. And what we found in March, which in some ways started this whole conversation along with our discovery, along with good reporting by a few dogged reporters who have been
mm-hmm.
Interested in this issue, we found that this payment to this political organization supporting Attorney General Bondi came not from Donald Trump personally, but from the Trump Foundation, which is his charitable family foundation, a charitable foundation.
Even though this was on the radio, Noah, I heard the air quotes when you said his charitable foundation. But but go ahead. Go ahead. Yes.
A charitable foundation.
Yes.
Is is taxed. It's tax exempt.
Right.
It gets a lot of protection from the government. And one of the requirements for that is that it can't give political contributions. It can't do any political work, because if it did, essentially the taxpayer would be subsidizing political contributions. So that's a flat ban. There's no, you don't have to have a prove any kind of intent or anything like that. They just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But they did, and we pointed that out, and it was widely reported. And the Trump Organization actually, in a very rare instance, admitted that they had done something they shouldn't have done. They admitted that the foundation shouldn't have made this payment, and that's what they ended up paying a penalty to the IRS for.
And it was like a $2,500 penalty, and then I guess Donald Trump ended up reimbursing the foundation for what was an illegal contribution. Is that a correct way to say it? This was an illegal contribution for the Trump Charitable Foundation, in air quotes, to give to this political organization, to Pam Bondi's political organization. That's just illegal, correct?
It's absolutely an illegal contribution. That is unquestionably true. But their issues certainly don't end there. And
mm-hmm.
before we even get to the bribery point, there's the fact that they appear to have lied about this contribution on the foundation's tax returns.
Mm-hmm.
They say it was a series of errors, but their account of what happened is a little bit hard to believe. And certainly you would think at least authorities ought to be looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
So what they said in their tax returns is, first of all, they said they didn't make any political contributions that year. They didn't participate in any political activity or support any organizations that were political organizations. But they did list the $25,000 contribution. Instead of listing it to And a Justice for All, which in Florida, which is Pam Bondi's group, they instead listed the contribution going to this group called Justice for All, which was based in Kansas
mm-hmm.
and was a legitimate nonprofit organization that the foundation legally could have given to.
And I, in reading your complaint on this, it was kind of amazing. And yes, the ironically named group And Justice for All was founded by Pam Bondi in Florida. There's another charitable group you described called And Justice for All in Utah. But the Trump Foundation listed neither of those groups on their tax returns. Instead, they listed the one called Just Justice for All in Kansas, and yet somehow they managed to send the money to the correct group down in Florida. Do we know if it was the same person who sent the money to Florida who also listed it on the tax returns at this point?
We don't know that. The workings over there are somewhat mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
They say it was different people. It was their accounts payable department screwed up and sent the check from the foundation instead of from Trump personally, and then their accountant separately made a different mistake. The Utah group is interesting, though, because they claim that the reason the check came from the foundation rather than from Trump personally is because an order went down to Trump's accounts payable department to send $25,000 to a group called And Justice for All. They claim that they didn't know what that was, so they looked in this book they have of nonprofits. They found that there is a Utah nonprofit called And Justice for All, and therefore they thought it would be okay to send the money from the foundation. But of course, as you said, the money didn't go to Utah. It went to Florida. And so that explanation doesn't really make sense. And then when you have their explanation that they just screwed up by accident and instead listed a third group on their tax returns, it's a little hard to imagine how all of these mistakes could have innocently happened, and yet the money itself went where it was supposed to go.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out in reading your complaint. Their explanations don't seem to make a lot of sense, and it seems like there's a few, if anybody, in the media actually pressing them on this. Certainly not the way I believe, at least, they would be pressing, appropriately, pressing the Clinton campaign, if anything, even remotely like this. Something that appears to be a direct payoff and is certainly illegal in that he's admitted it in paying this fine to the IRS. There has just been so little pressing of the Trump campaign about this. Noah Bookbinder, let me take a quick break because there's a lot more I want to ask you here. Obviously, we haven't even gotten into the bribery aspects of this. So let's take a quick break here, and we'll come back with Noah Bookbinder of the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington on the criminal complaint now filed against Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump and the Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi. It's an amazing story. Needs more coverage. We're trying to do what we can. I'm Brad Friedman, and this is your Bradcast. Don't go away. Cast Brad Friedman for Bradblog.com. Donald Trump is fighting the law, actually, when it comes to his Trump University, which is facing civil fraud complaints brought by the Attorney General of New York. In the meantime, he seems to have gotten a bit of a pass by the Attorney General of Florida, to whom he illegally gave $25,000 at the very least, and maybe more. I'm speaking with Noah Bookbinder, Executive Director of CRU, the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, about the criminal complaint that CRU has now filed with the Department of Justice, charging criminal bribery in this matter between Donald Trump and Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi. Okay, Noah, we've gone through the background here, the complaint you filed in March with the IRS that resulted in his Trump's admission that he did break the law in having his charitable foundation give $25,000 to Pam Bondi's political action committee. This new complaint, however, this criminal complaint you filed yesterday, goes above and beyond that. How does this new complaint go beyond those original complaints against his actions with the IRS?
What we're saying here is that not only was this a contribution that came from the wrong, that was an abuse of a nonprofit because it came from the wrong kind of organization that's not supposed to be involved in politics. Mm-hmm. Not only do they appear to have lied about the contribution, potentially to try to hide that they had done it in this illegal way, but that there really might be there's a lot of evidence here that suggests that there's something going on here that looks a whole lot like classic corruption, that you had a government official who was making a decision that affected Donald Trump and his businesses, and you had a very clear thing of value. That's the technical term. You had essentially money. You had mm-hmm. the campaign money, and maybe also this discount use of the Mar-a-Lago resort. That's a benefit that goes to the Attorney General of Florida, and then suddenly she makes the decision that is helpful to Trump and his businesses. We don't know what the decision making was in the Florida Attorney General's office. We have used open records laws. We are to get documents. We are pushing as hard as we can. We've gotten evidence that there was certainly discussion about what they should say in public, but we don't ultimately know how the decision was made. But if that decision-making had anything to do with that money from Trump, that starts to really look like a bribe. And that's why we're saying folks who can actually require people in the Attorney General's office, people in the Trump organization to produce documents and to answer questions need to do that. They need to figure out exactly what happened. Because until they do that, all we have is the evidence that we do have of this timeline looks really bad,
Yeah. Especially
when you combine it with the kinds of statements that Donald Trump has regularly made about how he operates, that he gives public officials money and then they do what he wants them to do. If he did that here, that starts to look like a crime.
Well, it starts to look like a crime. I would agree with you. And we played it, you know, at the top of the show, Donald Trump saying that he, you know, gives money to Democrats, to Republicans, and he years later he calls them, asks for a favor, and they're quote, they kiss his ass when he calls. It's unclear yet if that happened here. But even though it looks like a crime, given the U.S. Supreme Court's recent gutting of, you know, bribery laws and the definition of what public corruption by public officials actually means, this coming just a few days after the Supreme Court, recently this year, the Supremes vacated former Virginia Governor Bob McDonald's bribery conviction, in which he and his famous family received hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash and gifts from a businessman looking for favors from the government. There's a real question now about what actually constitutes the crime of bribery and what corruption is. It seems like the Supreme Court has redefined what you and I and everyone else may have thought was corruption and bribery before. So is there a concern about this case that this may now not fall under the U.S. Supreme Court's definition of what bribery actually is?
Well, we were extremely disappointed in the Supreme Court's decision in the McDonald case. That looked to me, I got my start in Washington as a corruption prosecutor. Uh-huh. I've brought these kinds of cases. That looked to me like a clear criminal corruption case, clear instance of bribery. And I think there is certainly concern that federal prosecutors are going to be more timid in the kinds of cases they bring after that decision. That said, though, the question in the McDonald case was, what does the official have to do to constitute an official act, the thing that mm-hmm. they're taking payment from.
Right.
And the Supreme Court felt like Governor McDonald hadn't done enough of those kinds of things. And I disagree with that. But if you look at this Trump Bondi situation, Attorney General Bondi's office made a decision not to take legal action in a case that mm-hmm. That affected Donald Trump's businesses. It's hard for me to imagine that any court, even this Supreme Court, which doesn't seem to have very high regard for corruption cases, wouldn't see that as an official act. So it seems pretty clear to me that if the Department of Justice looked at this and found that there was a connection that they could prove between that $25,000 and the decision not to take legal action against Trump University, the link that looks pretty apparent to all of us, but we don't have the proof. If they can find that proof, I think that is still very clearly a bribe.
Bondi herself, and remember, she's the top law enforcement official in the state of Florida. She established and ran this political committee in question, according to Crew's complaint. Is it possible? Is it even possible? Is it even imaginable that she would not have known about this $25,000 donation, whether it was illegal or not? Is it possible she wouldn't have even known about it coming from Trump's group? And I guess separately, that the AG's office merely decided, they looked at the complaints against Trump University and they decided on their own, completely separately from all of this, that all of the complaints they were getting from Florida residents about Trump University were simply not merited. I mean, is there wiggle room here? Because the way you paint this timeline, Noah Bookbinder, it does look at least pretty damning.
Well, Attorney General Bondi has said publicly that she personally asked Donald Trump for that money. Particularly given that, it is hard to imagine a scenario where she didn't know that that money came in. That's just truly hard to imagine.
Mm-hmm.
The Florida Attorney General's office has argued that the decision on what to do with regard to Trump University was made exclusively by lower-level employees, that Attorney General Bondi had nothing to do with that, that they simply said, sort of, essentially, New York is taking care of it, we don't need to worry about it. That part of it is we don't have the proof that that's not what happened
mm-hmm.
Yet. I mean, we don't have all the information. Because the press reported that the office was considering joining the New York lawsuit, and because the press subsequently reported that the Office of the Attorney General wasn't going to be doing anything, at the very least, it's hard to imagine that Pam Bondi didn't see those press reports and know that the office was making a decision there. And it's hard to imagine a prosecutor, a law enforcement officer, knowing that her office was making a major decision that affected Donald Trump, and knowing that she had just taken a whole lot of money from Donald Trump, and letting that stand, even if she wasn't directly involved in the decision making.
Mm-hmm.
That at the very least, you know, if you're looking at things in the most positive way to her, it's a massive conflict of interest. So it's just hard to imagine that she wasn't at least aware of it, and it's very possible that she was directly involved in the decision making. That's what investigators need to find out.
They certainly do. You note that Crew notes in the criminal complaint that soliciting or accepting a bribe is a crime punishable by up to 10 years in prison. That would be and that would be on Bondi's part, and that knowingly and willfully making false, fictitious, or fraudulent statements on tax returns is punishable by up to 5 years in prison. So are both of those complaints, I guess, to the briber and the bribee, the alleged briber and alleged bribee, part of the criminal complaint here? Is this something that the DOJ will now look at and decide to either not take to take up or not take up?
That's right. I mean, the bribery piece would affect both Donald Trump and the Trump Foundation and Attorney General Pam Bondi. The false statements on the tax returns part, that's just on the Trump side.
Mm-hmm.
That's Donald Trump and the Trump Foundation that is responsible for their taxes. The Department of Justice certainly, is my understanding of how mm-hmm. things work over there from my days a while back as a prosecutor for the Department of Justice, certainly somebody will take a look at this. I hope that it gets a really serious look, and that they truly consider starting up a criminal investigation. There's just enough smoke there that somebody should be figuring out whether there's a fire.
There should be. Yeah, there sure as hell should be. And it's kind of remarkable that there has not been more coverage on this and, frankly, so many other stories concerning Trump. And I know you got to go, Noah, so we don't have time to get into this, but there was four other organizations you point out that were on the Trump Foundation's tax returns. Listed as receiving donations, but they say they never received any of these donations. Two companies that claimed, I guess the Trump Foundation claimed that two companies had given them money, but the companies deny having given any money. I mean, there is so much here to dig into. It is remarkable that this would disqualify anyone else, but with Trump, it's just another day. Do you typically hear back, last question before I let you go, Noah, do you typically hear back from the Department of Justice in response to these sorts of complaints with, some reply, or do they just take action or not as they see fit? And does the timeline leading up now to the, we're 2 months away from the presidential election, how does that play into all of this in the meantime?
Generally, the Justice Department will simply act or not act. I don't expect that. Often, we get an acknowledgement that that they they got our complaint. They're going to review it. We generally don't get a more substantive answer than that. We just see what they do. Even if they do a serious investigation, I really hope that they will. It's very unlikely that that's going to resolve itself in the next 60 days or less. But it's a shame because I think there are really, really important questions that need to be answered here, and that's why, along with the authorities needing to dig into it, hopefully. Journalists will keep on really digging and seeing what they can find. We're certainly going to be digging into everything that's public that we can get our hands on and trying to get as much information as we possibly can. But we think it's most important that this be investigated, and it should be investigated fully. And whenever that happens, that's going to be important.
It is to the American electorate, frankly, before or after the election. This will still matter, particularly if Donald Trump wins, but it will still matter either way. Pam Bondi needs to be looked at. There's a lot more here, a lot more money that was given by Trump and his daughter, Ivanka. To the Republicans in Florida around all of this time. A lot of smoke. We'll see how much fire turns out to be there. And Noah Bookbinder, hope you'll come back and join us as the story moves ahead. Noah Bookbinder, Executive Director of the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. You can check out their work at citizensforethics.org and on the Twitters at CrewCrew. And you can also try to bribe Noah Bookbinder on Twitter at Noah Bookbinder. Noah, greatly appreciate you joining us. Hope we get to talk to you again soon in the future.
That would be great. Thanks so much.
Thank you, brother. Okay, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back. I know, as usual, running late. Maybe some of your calls, if I can fit them in, at 818-985-5735 on this topic. Desi Doyen will be joining us as well for the Green News Report and an update on the basket of deplorables. All of that, we're going to try to fit it all in. I'm Brad Friedman, and this is your Bradcast. We will be melting for Desi Doyen very momentarily, very quickly. I need to do a follow-up on yesterday. We discussed the basket of deplorables, which Hillary Clinton correctly described as about half. I believe she lowballed it as far as Trump's supporters go. We went through a series of hate crimes, one after another, that have come about over the last few days, many of them from Trump supporters, attacks against Muslims, mosques, and so forth. Two Muslim ladies walking their strollers in New York City were attacked by a Trump supporter. The Associated Press has now made an arrest in the fire at a mosque that was down in Orlando, Florida, where Omar Mateen, the shooter of the Orlando nightclub shooting a few months ago, where he had attended, that mosque was set on fire a few days ago after the previous attacks on this mosque and on its worshipers there. As well, we had reported yesterday about this rally in Asheville, North Carolina, this Donald Trump rally, where a Trump supporter had grabbed a protester by the neck and then punched him, had actually punched two male protesters at the rally and one a female protester. Those protesters were ushered out. The punchers, the Trump supporters, were allowed to stay. Well, now police have arrested one of the supporters who got into a physical altercation with those protesters inside the rally on Monday in Asheville, North Carolina. There is a warrant out for a second supporter. This is kind of amazing. They are trying to arrest, and I don't know if they've got him or not yet, but WLOS reported that police hope to arrest Richard Campbell of Edisto Island, South Carolina, for assault on a female. This took place outside of the North Carolina rally on Monday. The assault was a female 69-year-old woman by the name of Shirley Teeter. She has protested her whole life, she said. Now she adds Donald Trump's campaign to the list of things she's protesting against. After the rally, Teeter experienced something she said she's never experienced in all of her protests. She said to one of the supporters there, she said, "I, you better learn to speak Russian." And I said, the first two words are going to be ha ha. And then this protester stopped in his tracks and turned around and cold cocked her, just punched her in the face, knocked her out. She says she fell, get this, on her oxygen tank.
Yeah, this guy punched a little old lady with an oxygen
tank. Yeah, and knocked her out. She later, after the interview, Teeter called News 13 to add one more thing. She had a question. She said she wanted to ask if News 13 thought that if people find a Trump supporter punching her in the face is deplorable or not. I'd kind of say yes, it is.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just me. Man. Okay. So much to get to. It will have to be. We'll have to continue
we'll
on tomorrow's delightful broadcast.
We'll set aside the basket of deplorables for a moment.
Yes, we'll set aside the basket of deplorables. And again, we always know we're in trouble when we turn to Desi Doyen for good news with the Green News Report. But I think that's where we are. There is some good news, particularly for foes of fracking out here in California. So let's get to it. Our latest Green News Report.
We knew all along that the deck was stacked against us, but we had to do something.
The Obama administration steps in to support the Standing Rock Sioux tribe and halt the Dakota Access Pipeline.
The carbon titans, the carbon cronies, are now mobilizing to protect their market share and to protect their profits.
Why the oil industry is pushing for more pipelines. Judge rules against plan to open 1 million acres of public lands to fracking in California. Alabama has an unfinished nuclear plant for sale, real cheap. Plus, here we go again. August 2016 breaks the record, ties for hottest month ever recorded in human history.
All of that unfinished business and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
We could make energy burning prime rib if we wanted to. But why would we choose the most expensive product that there is?
Because it's delicious. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, a lot of drama over the past week or two up in North Dakota. Last Friday, I think we had the most drama yet.
Yes, it was an extraordinary twist in the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe's lawsuit to halt construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline that threatens their sacred sites and water supplies. Within minutes after a federal judge denied the tribe's request for an injunction, the Obama administration Justice Department issued a joint statement with the Interior Department and the Army temporarily halting construction of the pipeline on federal lands pending a new review. and asking the company to voluntarily halt construction within 20 miles of the disputed area, and calling for an examination of the permitting process on tribal lands. On MSNBC, Jane Klebe of Bold, Nebraska, went even further, noting that the oil industry is also abusing eminent domain for private profit.
There's national reform that's needed on eminent domain for private gain. We have big oil corporations that essentially are ignoring not only the sovereign rights of our native brothers and sisters, but are ignoring the property rights of farmers and ranchers. And so we have pipelines going in that aren't even for American energy independence anymore. They're essentially all for the export.
Funny thing, you know, about that eminent domain, Republicans are really, really angry about it. They hate it unless it has to do with oil pipelines. Then they seem to be fine with it.
And in a message of support to the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., president of Waterkeeper Alliance, said a key reason for these efforts to accelerate huge fossil fuel projects like the Dakota Access Pipeline is an attempt by the oil industry to lock in fossil fuel use for decades to come at the expense of renewable energy infrastructure.
The carbon industry is scrambling as fast as it can to put more and more infrastructure on the books. And that's why over the past 10 years in this country, there's been 16,000 miles of gas and oil pipelines constructed and only 600 miles of transmission lines. Why? Because transmission is the media for renewable energy.
Kennedy points out that right now the cost of renewables like wind and solar is almost at exact parity with oil and coal. And so that's what they have to do. They got to lock in these pipelines so they can then make the argument for years and years. Hey, let the oil flow. We have to pay off our investment. It's kind of obscene.
Exactly. Meanwhile, in California, a federal judge ruled against the Federal Bureau of Land Management on a plan to open up more than 1 million acres of public lands in Central California to more drilling and fracking.
Speaking of obscene.
In a lawsuit brought by earthjustice.org, the judge ruled that the Bureau of Land Management failed to analyze the risks of fracking and other dangerous oil and gas extraction techniques, citing potential threats to endangered wildlife and water supplies amid an historic drought. NASA has announced that August 2016 was not only the hottest August of all Augusts ever recorded since record-keeping began in the 1800s, but also ties last month, July 2016, for the absolute warmest month ever measured of any month in human history.
Man.
Meteorologist Eric Holdhouse notes that this new tie for the warmest absolute monthly global temperature record is extra disturbing because there is no more El Nino weather pattern to blame for goosing global temperatures.
Wow. And all they could talk about in the presidential campaign is baskets of deplorables? Really?
Costa Rica has announced it's been operating on 100% renewable electricity now for 2 straight months. That's 80 days and counting without burning any fossil fuels to generate electricity, putting it on track to match or beat its record last year of 150 total days running just on clean renewable energy.
Yeah, but have they tried burning prime rib?
Finally, in Alabama, you can now buy an unfinished nuclear power plant with 2 reactors, waterfront acreage, and plenty of parking for a bargain basement price of just $37 million. The Tennessee Valley Authority is trying to unload the unfinished plant after spending more than 40 years and $5 billion on it.
Decades and decades of scammery. For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report. So much scammery, so little time. Okay, we got just a minute. I wanted to get to calls today. Let me get to one really quickly here. Brian in Calabasas. Hey, Brian, welcome to the broadcast. What's on your mind, sir?
Yeah, I had a general question about the Trump donation to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my question is this. Various jurisdictions were looking into the potential problems with Florida, with Trump University.
Right.
Do we know why it is he selected Florida as a choice to try to get them to back down from investigating the allegations further, as opposed to some other jurisdictions? Or was his university doing something in Florida that was unique or different than what's happening in other jurisdictions.
Well, actually, no, we don't know that, and we don't know there were other jurisdictions as well that, and it was one of the questions that I had hoped to get to with Noah Bookbinder to find out what came of those other jurisdictions where he was also may have given money, and the other AGs who were interested in potentially joining Eric Schneiderman's lawsuit. And by the way, Eric Schneiderman has also said now he is looking into, as I understand it, the criminal complaints, the criminal element of this. He had been just looking at the civil fraud case in Trump University. But he has picked up on what Crew has been reporting and trying to get people to pay attention to. So, no, we don't yet know. There are all of these questions about this case and about Florida and about Pam Bondi and about all of the other attorneys general. And short of really the Washington Post, who has done a great job here, New York Times doesn't seem to give a damn about it. It's just amazing to me. Say what you like about Hillary Clinton, but I cannot imagine a case would be ignored like this if we had this kind of evidence against Hillary Clinton.
Oh, I agree completely.
All right, Brian, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate the call, and I greatly appreciate everyone else out there. I know I got to get out. Couldn't get to our friend Morris today. Next time, Mo. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to our board operator, G., to my guest today, Noah Bookbinder of citizensforethics.org. Just a great group. A great group. We have been leaning on their coverage and their reporting for a decade now. I am so happy to see that they are still at it. My thanks also to you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's broadcast, you can download it for free at bradblog.com, over at iTunes, over at kpfk.org. And you can reach me on the Facebooks and the Twitters. I am the Brad Blog there, and you can drop me email as well. Bradcast@bradblog.com. All right, that's it. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. I hope you will join me. Until then, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.